Okay, our first speaker today, let's welcome Dr. Jude Grosser from the University of Florida Citrus Research and Education Center.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm glad a few of you made it back after your big lunches. I got a couple of goals today. I was asked to give an overview of the rootstock germplasm used in citrus and present the great amount of genetic diversity that's available for us breeders to work with, which is a really nice thing. And then everything I say is going to be influenced by the crisis that we're in the midst of here in Florida, which is Wong Long Bing, and it's affecting everything that we do. We've had about 4 packing plants close and 1 juice plant close this past year, so we are truly in a crisis, and one of the big answers could be genetics, and that has a lot to do with rootstocks, and I'm going to touch on that at the end. I'll acknowledge my colleagues. My lab manager, Gary Barth, Bill Castle, and Fred Gemitter are my partners in crime, and Ori Lee is a 88-year-old citrus grower that's a lot smarter than I'll ever be and has helped us tremendously. Okay, so this thing is not advancing the slide, so what do I need to do? Maybe it's this one. Oh, there we go. Okay, so category one, vigorous rootstocks, and this was the mainstay of Florida back before irrigation. These rootstocks produce very large trees, very high yields. Growers like them because they put down a big tap root, and before irrigation, that was the only way you could get through the hot part of the year, hot and dry part of the year in Florida. In the wintertime, it's very dry here, and at the end of the summer, it's also very dry. They generally give you poor fruit quality compared to other rootstock categories. They do have wide soil adaptation. They have a disease problem in that they're susceptible to blight, which is still a disease that we don't really know the causal agent, although there's some theories now about 2 viruses being involved in it. They lack cold hardiness, and they're traditionally planted very far apart in the grove. Rough lemon was the mainstay here in Florida for many years, and it's still used on a small scale. Second group is the sour orange type rootstocks, and sour orange used to be the favorite rootstock around the world for sweet oranges. Turns out that sour orange is probably an F1 hybrid of Mannerd and Pomelo, and I'll show you a little slide on, two slides on that coming up. People in Florida just absolutely love sour orange, but we can't use it anymore because it's susceptible to Citrus tristeza virus. Ungrafted, this is not a problem, but when you have a graft with the sweet orange, you have necrosis at the graft union and the trees collapse. It's a disease spread by aphids. There's been a lot of effort to generate Mandarin Pomelo hybrids that perform similarly, and I've listed a few of those there, Kinkoji, Gaotao, Smooth Flat Seville. They all do okay, but they're not sour orange. They have other issues. So as you think about breeding, our industry would love to have something just like sour orange that can handle Citrus tristeza virus. So as breeders, we always keep that in mind. Mandarin rootstocks are popular in some areas. They're predominantly used for fresh fruit mandarin varieties, mostly for tangerines. Again, they're vigorous and good yields, reasonably good fruit quality. Some of them can have issues with Phytophthora, and some of them can provide salinity tolerance. Cleo and Chiquasha are both very good against salinity. And again, they're used at a wide tree spacing. Trifoliate orange is used all over the world as a rootstock, particularly for fresh fruit in cold areas, hilly areas in the cold. If you go to the mountainous areas in China or in South America or in many places around the world, you see a lot of beautiful trees on trifoliate orange. It can produce small to medium-sized trees. It lacks drought tolerance. It has limited soil adaptation, but it's a really good source for disease-resistance genes and also nematode resistance. One mutant of this, called flying dragon, is the most popular dwarfing rootstock used in citrus. It makes very small trees and is being tested in advanced citrus production systems that are evolving. Next category is the citrus trifoliate hybrids. These are extremely important now. In Florida, the top couple of rootstocks are in this category. Citranges are hybrids of sweet orange and trifoliate orange. Carrizo is one of the more popular rootstocks in Florida, and Alkuharski, which is a selection from Carrizo that has improved nematode resistance. Citromelos are hybrids of grapefruit and trifoliate orange, and Swingle Citromelo is the number one rootstock in Florida and is used all over the world as well. Citrandarins are mandarin trifoliate orange hybrids, and this is probably the newest group that's emerging. There are a lot of hybrids coming from various breeding programs, especially the USDA here in Florida that's run by Kim Bowman, and the Foguet program in Argentina has generated a few of these, and then there's X639 that comes from South Africa. The Spanish program under Juan Fournet has also made some nice hybrids in this category. Citradias are hybrids of sour orange and trifoliate orange. None of them have reached commercial use, although there's a couple candidates in the breeding pipelines around the world. So again, these things are very popular. You can, depending on selection, get variable tree size, very good yields. They generally have good fruit quality. They tend to be blight susceptible. There's a few exceptions. And the interesting thing is in Florida is the situation with the Diaprepes sugarcane root weevil, which was spread around Florida by the ornamental industry. The larvae can fall down into the pots and be hidden there, and so the plants get distributed for use as ornamentals, and then the larvae grow up, turn into adults, and fly to the closest citrus grove, and you have a big infection. And what's really interesting is that a lot of the trifoliate hybrids were actually selected for superior resistance to Phytophthora nicotiani. And you can have some issues with that, but there's another species of Phytophthora called palmivora that has become a problem because of Diaprepes opening up the opportunity by chewing on scaffold roots, and then the palmivora can come in. So what the issue is that the things that are resistant to Nicotiana are susceptible to palmivora and vice versa. So that's making a breeding approach of combining different things even more important. Tree spacings for these are all over the place, but a good average one would be about 12 by 20. I have a slide here that was provided from the Citrus Budwood Registration through Mike Kessinger in Florida, and it just tells you what's being used now. And Swingles still is our number one rootstock, but its use is declining very quickly. Sour Orange is coming back up, even though we have the problem with Tristeza, because there's such a large psyllid killing program going on in Florida. People are spraying over and over to kill the psyllids that transmit Huanlong Bing. That's also doing a number on the aphids that transmit Tristeza. So people think, oh, maybe I can get away with sour orange now since we're killing all of the aphids with our psyllid control programs. US 812 and X639, US 897 are these trifoliate hybrids that I mentioned. And there's a number of other USDA rootstocks that have been released by Kim Bowman that are gaining favor in Florida. Cleo and Volk old rootstocks are still being utilized. So I was talking about what we can do as breeders, and we think a lot about sour orange because in Florida, before Huanlong Bing, blight was our big problem. Some growers are still losing 10 to 12% of their trees every year to blight. And if you can solve blight before Huanlong Bing, that would have been a home run by itself. So now we have blight interacting with Huanlong Bing, which is the double whammy. So this is an old slide that just shows that sweet orange and sour orange are both predominantly mandarin and pomelo combinations based on marker analysis. And you can see that the vigorous types that I mentioned in Category 1 all have a large dose of citron in their heritage. This is another slide with genomics work showing the same thing, that sour orange is indeed a hybrid of grapefruit and mandarin. This is a slide that Fred Gemitter let me borrow. So when I think about rootstock improvement, there's great opportunities, and I call it an exercise in creative packaging. There's a long list of attributes that you need to have to make a rootstock better than what's available commercially, but at the bottom of the list now, which is the number one priority, is providing some tolerance in a grafted tree to Huanlong Bing. So there's a lot of rootstocks in the pipelines that ungrafted do very well against Huanlong Bing, but when you slap a sweet orange or a grapefruit or a mandarin cyan on them, it's a different story. So we need a rootstock that can actually send something up into the top of the tree to help protect the entire tree. Fred and I have been working a lot on traditional diploid breeding, and I just got a few of my favorite recent crosses on here of pumelo with different mandarins. And out of these, we have two fast-track releases. One is a hybrid of pumelo with Cleopatra mandarin, and another was pumelo with Sequoia mandarin. Here's an example of a four-and-a-half-year-old reset of one of these hybrids with Vernia sweet orange as a sign in a high Kuomintang Bing pressure area. And these hybrids are all, rootstocks are doing very, very well. This is another real interesting one, and it's like a 3.5-year-old tree pictured here. It's got so much fruit on it, it's got branches that are breaking off. And we have 10 trees on this particular rootstock. When we first made it, we propagated it by cuttings. And we did that with a number of rootstock, about 75 different ones. And this is one's the most interesting because we have 10 trees, and they're now about 5 years old, and they're in a very heavy Huanglongbing pressure area, and all 10 of them are showing no Huanglongbing whatsoever, and they're all yielding like this. This is another hybrid of pumelo and Cleo. The problem with some of these pumelo mandarin hybrids is that they don't make the right kind of seeds for nursery propagation. They make zygotic seeds, and for the nursery propagation, we need new cellar seeds that give you the maternal genotype back for uniformity in the seedling population. So if this is to become a commercial rootstock, it'll have to be propagated by tissue culture or by cuttings or both. And we're pursuing that. We've got three companies now involved in tissue culture propagation of rootstocks in Florida, which are going to play a huge role in the future, in my opinion. We're finding things like this in the grove. This is a ruby grapefruit tree on another hybrid of pumelo and Cleo that was also put through a salinity screen. And it's surrounded by trees that are getting plastered by Huanglongbing. And there's four replicates of this particular one in this particular grove over in Vero Beach, and they all look exactly the same. So when we see more than one tree doing this and no bad ones in a really high-pressure area, we get excited about it. Now I want to shift gears because there's a lot of interest in advanced citrus production systems, and the rootstocks will play a very big role there by controlling tree size and enhancing fruit quality. And using tools to breed rootstocks at the tetraploid level are very valuable here because you can have an advantage in controlling tree size. We found that almost all the tetraploids that we've tested have given us some built-in level of tree size control. Here's an example of one of our first somatic hybrids that we've made in the laboratory by fusing two rootstocks together. This one's a hybrid of Cleo and Flying Dragon with Ambersweet as a scion, and Ambersweet's very difficult to get early cropping like you see here. So we found out early on that you could just about get any size tree that you want, but if you want a tree that's about 10 or 12 foot tall, those would be outlined in red there, and if you want a dwarfing tree, anything below the red group there would be a dwarfing type, and anything with a plus is actually a somatic hybrid made by the fusion process in the laboratory. So you can see that almost all the combinations that have the plus, the somatic hybrids, all produce smaller trees than the commercial controls, with Carrizo being 100% a full-size tree. Initially, we found quite a few of these somatic hybrids did fairly well, but they all seemed to have an issue, and so we kept working and tried to solve the issues, and now we're getting somatic hybrids that do everything we want them to do. They produce a lot of new cellar seed, grow vigorous in the nursery, and now we're finding with optimum tree spacings, you can get really nice yields of high-quality fruit. And this Changshaw 50-7 hybrid is the first somatic hybrid that we're fast-track releasing for use in the industry, and we have the first released trees growing in nurseries right now. It's one that could be planted 8 or 9 feet in a row with about 250 trees per acre. It'll give you 550 to 600 boxes of high-quality fruit per acre. Here's a picture of a full-grown tree in a blight test, and a lot of the fruit that's on this tree is hidden by the new flush, so there's really a ton of fruit on this particular tree, a 10-year-old version of that. Now we have another opportunity for building sour orange at the tetraploid level, so we've screened a lot of pumelos. There's tremendous genetic diversity in pumelo. We actually found some that were resistant to all three Tristeza isolates in Florida, and we're fusing those back with mandarins, and we've made quite a few somatic hybrids with these combinations. Here's a few that are showing for stages of resistance in a field assay that we have. And we do this assay by grafting test genotypes into infected scaffold branches, and we do a sour orange as a check. And you can see on the far right here, there's a little tiny sour orange that's impacted by the Citrus tristase, and you can see this particular hybrid is not having any issue at all. This is some work done by Azza Mohammed for her PhD dissertation. Now we're finding some real interesting things. This is a six-year-old grapefruit tree over in Vero Beach, and all the trees in the particular block look like the one on the left, and we're finding things that look like this one here in the middle. Again, this will really get your attention when you're out in the grove looking at tree after tree getting plastered by Huanlongbing and you find this. So this is one that's on a somatic hybrid of Amblycarpa and Pumelo, and there's a couple of selections that are looking like this that need further evaluation. It's pretty exciting to see this sort of thing. Now we have the opportunity to breed at the tetraploy level because we have the somatic hybrids, and now they're all beginning to flower and fruit. We know which ones do well in field trials, and so we can start combining them together at the tetraploy level. So this is very powerful genetically because you can mix the genes from four different diploids together at one time. We have a large trial in the Dundee area. It's less than an hour away from here. The pre-conference tour visited this trial yesterday. We had a really nice visit there. And there's about 80 rootstocks being evaluated there under high Huanlongbing pressure, and quite a few of them are doing good. This is kind of what we were after when we started the trial. We're after rootstocks that can be planted close together that might be amenable to mechanical harvesting that could be used in an advanced citrus production system. This is one that's a tetrazygote, what I call, which is a hybrid of two somatic hybrids. And this one has four different parents. It has Nova, Pumelo, Cleo, and Trifoliate Orange. And the other interesting thing about this one is it had the lowest frequency of Huanlongbing infection after 5 years. It was less than 20%, whereas all the commercial rootstocks were already over 80% infected with Huanlongbing. So these rootstocks, many of these tetraploids are getting greening at a lower frequency, and then once they get it, they're showing reduced symptoms compared to commercial rootstocks. So here's an example of that. I've got Kuharski and Swingle on the left. They're both commercial rootstocks. And then I've got two tetrazygotes on the right. And you can see the big differences in HLB infection frequencies after 5 years. And some of these trees still look gorgeous that we looked at them yesterday. This is just a table with a lot of data on it, but what I really wanted to show you that a lot of these tetraploid rootstocks that we've selected for release, the somatic hybrid in the yellow and the tetrazygotes in the blue, are all doing very well yield-wise on smaller trees with very good juice quality data as compared to the controls. So even on smaller trees, in many cases, we're getting higher yields than we are on bigger trees in the controls, with more than acceptable fruit quality. So there's real promise here for getting rootstocks that will be amenable to the advanced citrus production systems. Now with greening, we've totally changed how we deal with hybrids. We make crosses at the diploid and the tetraploid level, and now we germinate the seed in calcareous soil that's been inoculated with Phytophthora nicotiana and Phytophthora palmivora to get the winners. The seedlings that can survive that, then we're moving the 4x4s. We grow the tops out, and we cut the tops off, and now we want to put seed trees of the rootstocks out on their own roots. We don't want to graft them to a commercial rootstock that might inhibit their ability to live. So we grow them on their own roots now, and if we have extras, we have extras to graft with an orange and put into trials. We take that original liner, we take it to the house that's designated for work with Huanlongbing. It's a legal house regulated by the state where we're allowed to work with the pathogen. We take hot sticks of Valencia about that long, and we graft them into those liners, and we flush out the hot sticks to see what impact that rootstock can have on that hot bud stick growing the tree. Most of them show strong symptoms, but 5 to 10% of the trees show either very reduced symptoms or no symptoms, and those are the ones we get excited about. And we take those to a hot psyllid house, so they get re-inoculated again with greening. We leave them in the hot psyllid house until we see psyllid damage, and then working with Ed Sturmer, we have a plot at Pico's Farm at the USDA where we have a permit to take these to the field. It's a very challenging location with high HLB pressure and challenging soils. And we've had trees there closing in on 2 years now. And we monitor those. And if a rootstock looks good there, then, of course, we're going to follow up on whether it has potential or not. So here's an example of what we find in the greenhouse on your left, highly symptomatic trees. Some of them die. And on your right, the small percentage of the ones that are pulled out for moving along the gauntlet into the hot, sealed house. I've got pictures of about four that have been out there at least a year and a half. Here you can see the one on the right is a dud, and then you have the one on the left, a complex tetraploid hybrid that has Amblycarpa, it has Volk, it has Nova, Pomelo, Cleo, and Trifoliate. And you can see this is grown from hot budwood and passed through a hot sealed house, and it's growing like gangbusters over at the Pico's farm. Here's another one with my graduate student Aditi standing next to it. This one has Milam and Pomelo in it, and also has the Nova, the Pomelo, and the Cleo, and the Trifoliate. So again, these are Valencias grafted to individuals. We don't have any horticultural performance data on anything. What we're trying to find is rootstocks that can grow the tree to get it into production in this greening world that we live in now. You can see a dud again next to that one on the right, and a tree that's trying to decide whether it wants to go one way or the other on the left there. Here's another one you can see a tremendous growth flush coming out of it, and I really like this one because it's got parents to give us really good fruit quality, better than the previous two that I showed you. So this one's an Amblycarpa, Pomelo, and again the Nova, the Cleo, and the Pomelo, and the Trifoliate Orange. So again, another complex hybrid. We do have some sour orange types that are starting to look good in this, what I call the gauntlet also. So what we're doing with these, when we find trees like this, then we're trying to get the original mother tree into a tissue culture program to see whether it's amenable to tissue culture propagation. We're working with AgriStarts in Apopka. We're working with Philip Rux Nursery. And we now know that AgriMalora, the world authority on woody plant micropropagation, is building a plant in Florida that we expect to be open in June of 2015. So that could be a game changer for us. So I think the rootstocks are going to come in two stages. The first stage are these ones that we're finding in the field. They weren't pre-selected for Huanlong Bing tolerance, but there's differences showing up. And Kim Bowman at the USDA is seeing the same thing with his germplasm. So it's really important to have this genetic diversity. So when any time an administration says you need to get scrunch your land down and get rid of some of your germplasm, you got to fight with them. You got to keep as much of your germplasm you can, because you never know when one of those trees out there in that collection that may not look valuable to you now might become valuable to you later. Fight for your germplasm. Then the second stage is what I think is really going to be the home run, is these rootstocks that I think can really impart tolerance to the whole tree and allow you to grow a normal tree. And eventually, I hope that we can find genetics that will eliminate psyllid control, which is a huge cost per acre to the grower. It's about adding close to $1,500 per acre per year to the cost of growing trees in Florida. So I'll stop there. I'm probably out of time, but I want to thank especially Ori Lee, a good friend and collaborator, the late Harold McTeer, and, of course, funding from CRDF, New Varieties Development Management Corporation, and other various grants in the past from the USDA, CSRES, and lots of other people that have helped with our rootstock improvement program. Thank you very much.
Time for one question, if you have any.
Yes, sir.
Is there anything known about the mechanism that the rootstocks are conferring the science for actual control of the
one? We've got a whole sack full of hypotheses, and we're turning some graduate students loose on that. We're going to be doing some transcriptomic work, and we're going to be doing some growth regulator work. There's also a huge component interacting with nutrition. We're learning a lot there. I'm not trained in nutrition, but I'm learning an awful lot, and that's making a big impact too. So it's a big black box that we're going to try to unravel.